A few weeks ago, someone posted a piece of trivia on a website which has questions and answers on it, and it caught my eye because it had a map of the United States on this page, and under the map it said, if our galaxy were the size of the continental United States, the sun would be, you know me, I like those analogies, but what would you guess? The galaxy is the size of the United States. Well, how big would the sun be? Would it be, you know, a basketball, a football stadium, the size of the city of Newport? What would you guess? Well, the answer, their answer was about the size of a white blood cell. A white blood cell. I find that a pretty vivid analogy. And it makes a point to me, a point that I've been thinking about each day when I'm praying, when I'm trying to focus on reality. That is certainly a reality out there that we don't often see. And I'd like to make that point to you today. And it is this, the point is, God is not far away. That's the title of my sermonette. God is not far away. This analogy of the United States to the white blood cell works because we have some idea, a good idea of the size of the continental U.S. We might, in fact, drive across a good piece of it in a week or so on the way to the feast. And as you drive, consider what our galaxy looks like from God's point of view. Think of the Milky Way and the continental U.S. We have a strong impression of the size. Consider that you're looking for a white blood cell in the United States. And I wondered if those numbers were right, by the way. So I went through the arithmetic, and you can easily look up the numbers. Take the area of the United States and calculate how big of a circle that would be if it were a circle, and then compare that to the size of a white blood cell. And the ratio is about 10 to the 11th power. And then look at the diameter of the galaxy, which is 100,000 light years, and compare that to the diameter of the sun. The ratio, sure enough, it's about 10 to the 11th power. So the analogy is correct. If you were to journey somewhere by car, consider what it would be like if you're looking then for a white blood cell in this country. Couldn't find it easily, of course. The naked eye can only see something about 1/10 of a millimeter in size, and a white blood cell is about 1/10 of that. But, you know, to be fair, the galaxy is dark, and so you're driving through this continental U.S.-sized galaxy looking for a tiny, tiny spot, but it glows, so you've got that advantage. But then, of course, you have to pick out that glow from 100 billion other glowing specks in the continental U.S., 100 billion stars in the galaxy. And the Earth is much smaller, of course, than that speck. All the planets amount to about 1/10 of 1% of the mass of the sun. So this is a really microscopic speck. At that scale, the solar system would be about 2 inches in diameter. So you're looking for something 2 inches in diameter in this country with a little tiny glowing spot in the middle. This is our home in the galaxy. A microscopic speck. How does that make you feel? It may strike you with some awe, perhaps, because you believe that God created all this. How could he do that? And that's valid, but if you were an atheist, it would probably strike you as, this is impossible for anybody to have created all of this and yet be aware of us individually. But I think by itself, this analogy, what it raises in my mind, it indicates one thing, and that is God is not somewhere beyond the stars. He is not some place. He does not live in a place as we know it. That's my opinion, and I'm going to base it on scripture here in a moment. I think it is in a realm beyond time and space. I think if it were a place beyond the billions of galaxies in the universe, that is too far away. But God is spirit, and he's not in a place as you and I know it. Let's turn to John, chapter 3. John chapter 3 is Jesus talking to Nicodemus. And he's telling Nicodemus in verse 6 that that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit, meaning what is a spirit like? Well, it's spirit. But of course, Nicodemus didn't understand, and none of us really understands what it's like to be spirit either. And so he does an analogy in verse 8. He said, the wind blows where it wants to, where it wishes. And you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. He says, spirit is like wind. In fact, the word wind here in this verse is pneuma. It's the same word as used for spirit. Very, very close in meaning. In fact, Young's literal translation actually translates that verse, the spirit blows where it wants to. But it's like wind in the sense that you can't see it, obviously. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it goes to. You hear it, maybe you know what it does. And Jesus Christ saying here, those who are born of the Spirit are our spirit. They are spirit at the resurrection, just as God himself is spirit. He can seemingly, as Jesus Christ did, appear out of nowhere, like in the locked room at the end of this book, in chapter 20, he appears in a locked room. God is not coming from a distant place. And it doesn't go back to a distant place. For lack of knowing anything else to call it, I would say he lives in another dimension. Of course, I don't know what that's like any more than any other flesh knows what that's like. But he's not subject to time or distance. He's not affected by matter or energy. It's another dimension. Apparently it's all around us. Let's turn over to what Paul says again in Acts 17. Acts 17. Here's Paul speaking to the Greek philosophers on Mars Hill, verses 24 through 28. He tells them that God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, and I don't think they appreciated the scale of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands. Paul is speaking to the pagan Athenians, discounting how small they made their gods, that they could actually live in a temple. God is way beyond living in a temple. He's way bigger than that. And I think, as I said, they had no idea at what scale God operates. You know, they had no Hubble or Webb space telescopes. In verse 25, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he gives to all life and breath and all things. He's too big for a temple, but on the other hand, he's the creator of life. And so he is intimately aware of our tiny little world. And verse 26, has made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. He knows our molecular structure. He gives us the spirit in man that makes us think. That, what can we think? Verse 27, that they should seek the Lord, if happy they might feel after him and find him. That is, the spirit in man can find him, he is saying, if he wills, though he be not far from every one of us. And that's my point this afternoon. God is not far away. What it says. And why is he not far away? Because verse 28 says, for in him we live and move and have our being. So, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but I'm just saying when you drop to your knees and you want to You want to think about reality. You want to project to the real reality of God. Think about the real reality of the universe. The physical universe is way too big to fathom. But this analogy, hopefully, the continental U.S. and the white blood cell, helps. We can visualize being on this little blue planet that revolves around a star that's a speck in the continental U.S. But it doesn't matter how big the universe is. There is another reality, a deeper reality that we can't see. Just as we cannot see the universe, we cannot see our Father in heaven when we address him, our Father in heaven. He's not in a place, in the sense of a physical place. He's in a place that is spirit, not at some unimaginable distance from here. And that dimension is apparently all around us, is what Paul is saying in Acts 17. In him we live and move. Certainly we address him by means of spirit and not the sound of our voice. And how do we know then that he hears us? Because it's Jesus who tells us to pray. And he tells us that God hears us. And Jesus is the only person, the only human who ever crossed that gap, who knows what it is to change from physical to spirit, We know he crossed that gap because we have witnesses to that fact, and we can take his word for it. So reaching God is not an issue of size. The world of spirit is all around us, and so God is not far from us.